Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday. It's October 28th, 2014. And if you were tuned in for yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, we have Gabe Walder back with us in the studio, along with my great and wonderful co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo. And let's see if I can do a quick summary. We'll see if I can pull this together just in case you can't go to our archive programs page and listen to yesterday's broadcast to get the whole update and some of the testimony and storytelling from Gabe. But he grew up in the Muhammad area. Currently lives with his wife of 3 years, Lindsay. We did a number of shout-outs, and we kind of left you yesterday with some of that love story, but we'll maybe even come back to that. You serve with Loving Shepherd Ministries, an office out of Urbana. They're headquartered out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. You graduated from the University of Illinois in International Studies, got your master's in global politics at Illinois State. You attend Christ Community Church in Champaign. You've been married these past 3 years and soon to adopt your foster son, Martel. And I think Jason had mentioned yesterday there's a special story and how God worked in that situation. But Loving Shepherd Ministries is where your heart and you see God using your gifts and abilities and talents to move forward some very specific ministry goals. And I think we closed out yesterday's program with you highlighting those three. And so we'll come right back to that. But let me give the website for our listeners to access at some point, and we'll mention this again at the end of the broadcast. But loving-shepherd.org. Loving-shepherd.org is the ministry website. And if you want to get in touch with Gabe, you can call him at 217-714-5578, 217-714-5578. Maybe you want him to come and share at your church or your small group or a Sunday school. Part of your goals, I know this morning and yesterday, is to raise the awareness of what Loving Shepherd Ministry does.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, Gabe, I know that you guys are, like you said, Mark even touched on, you're in the midst of an adoption right now, and you actually took Martel, and I believe, as a foster child prior to understanding if adoption was going to be an option for you guys. So before we get to global adoption and global kind of things that you're doing through Loving Shepherd Ministries, talk to us about how this thing, it's playing out in your doorstep and in your driveway, in your home.
Sure. Yeah, so first of all, I'd just say we don't know for sure yet if we'll be able to adopt him, but it is looking pretty probable just because his parents haven't been super involved lately, and that is a goal for us. You know, certainly when we went into foster care, we understand that sometimes the children end up returning to the birth parents, which oftentimes would be a great goal to have, but other times, in this case with Martel, it seems like what's going to be best is for us to potentially be able to adopt him, but, you know, you have to go through the court process and everything of that nature. But sort of the heart we had, really, again, it came from my wife. We had wanted to go overseas to do international missions, and that was kind of the motivation for me to do my master's. But her mother passed away early on in our marriage, and it was a very devastating loss. It was just a few weeks from the first symptoms to her death. Mm-hmm. And kind of what came out of that process in relation to this was Lindsay said, "Hey, Gabe, given what just happened, I'm not ready to go overseas. You know, emotionally, spiritually, I'm tired, and this isn't right for me right now. I need support." And I understood that, completely understood that. It took some time to sort of reanalyze my career, since that was sort of my ambition. But one of the things that came out of that was Lindsay said, "Hey, we might not be going overseas to do international missions, but how can we be missional in the community here?" And through a series of events and speaking with other individuals, Lindsay said to me, "Hey, I think I have a heart for foster care. These kids are vulnerable. These kids are often, even in the foster care system, unfortunately, a lot of the homes are not very stable or good homes. There can be abuse even within the system, and oftentimes the reason the kids are coming into the system is because of abuse." And she said, "Hey, why do we need to go overseas to be reaching into people's lives when we have these kids at our doorstep?" And it took me a little bit of time to kind of analyze that and decide whether or not that was something that was right for us. But, you know, through prayer and thinking and talking with some friends, I said, you know, "Hey, I'm open to this. I'll at least go through the training and see what happens." And, you know, she had me right where she wanted me. You know, as soon as I said yes to that, I was kind of, you know, I was in for it, because, you know, you start hearing about the needs, and if your heart's open at all, you're going to realize, wow, it's hard to say no. So once we got trained, we ended up getting, basically, honestly, I can say Martel is the best kid of all time. And I can say that and be a little more unbiased since he's not my biological son. But, I mean, he is 7 months old and he sleeps through the night. You know, he is so sweet and he's an amazing kid. And so, you know, he's a kid that really has honestly, he's changed my life completely just within the 5 months that I've had him. So.
Wow. You know, we'll trade. We got an 8-month-old man. He's up every 3 hours.
Yep.
Other than when Tasha's at a true woman.
You're young.
Conference.
I think you need a challenge.
Yeah. That's all right.
Oh, so how does that push you then? So now talk to us about then what God's doing in and through you, sure, and through Loving Shepherd Ministries. Give us a picture and a snapshot. I mean, what is Loving Shepherd Ministries and why should, really, let me be honest with you, why should we care about it?
Yeah. Well, Loving Shepherd Ministries, sort of the goal, one of the main things that I would want to emphasize about us is we are really reaching the world's most vulnerable kids. And by vulnerable kids, I don't just mean kids that are potentially homeless or just don't have resources. For instance, in Haiti, we're reaching kids that are actual child slaves or are very, very near the brink of becoming child slaves. So these are the kids that aren't even going to make it onto, you know, like a sponsor a home type of program because they're completely off the map. These are kids that are often abused. Oftentimes sexual abuse would be a part of that. They can be beaten to death at sometimes. And so the kids that we work with are truly the most vulnerable. And in Ethiopia, we're working with kids that are actually the children of prostitutes. And these women have HIV. Up to 80% of them have HIV. You know, they're prostitutes. The women we work with aren't prostitutes because there's a pimp holding a gun to their head. These are women that are prostitutes out of necessity. And so it's not sex trafficking in that sense, but it's women that are in the sex trade out of necessity because they have no skills. And so these kids, if we're not intervening in these women's lives, they will become homeless, they will become the next round of prostitutes themselves, and they are extremely vulnerable. So when we say we help vulnerable kids, we really mean the world's most vulnerable. And also, Loving Shepherd Ministries, the way that we do our work, especially overseas, is sustainable, which is huge. I'll give you an example. In Haiti, we have a couple hundred, near a couple hundred Haitian staff, as opposed to only 2 Americans on staff in Haiti. And so what we're really doing is not coming down and creating programs. We're coming down and partnering along with locals, with ministries that they're already involved in and had a heart for even before we came. I mean, really just providing resources and a sustainable way. So like for our kids in Haiti, we actually have a vocational ranch. So when they get old enough, they can actually move to our ranch for 2 years and they will then be equipped with an advanced education. And that's something that moves these kids from the most vulnerable state to becoming kids that can actually be, they reach their God-given potential and they can be country changers within their context. Because as you both know, Americans aren't going to change Haiti and Ethiopia. Haitians and Ethiopians that are equipped both spiritually and educationally are going to be who changes the countries. And the last thing I'd say about us to emphasize is Christ is certainly something that's part of everything that we do. And when I say that, I mean that our kids, whether they're in Haiti or in Ethiopia, and the women that we work with are going to be introduced to the gospel in a sensitive and culturally relevant way. And so it's not going to be shoved down their throat. It's not going to be something that they're going to feel like, hey, I have to become a Christian to be able to get these resources. Rather, we're going to be able to come alongside them and say, hey, we're meeting your needs. We want what's best for you. And this is the motivation behind it. And although we can provide for you, you know, these physical needs, ultimately, you're going to have to look beyond us even to Christ to meet your spiritual needs. So those are some things I'd emphasize about Loving Shepherd.
And you mentioned the two, you mentioned your world outreach, but then yeah. I think you have a focus also with adoption resources in the U.S.,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So in the United States, we're not an agency, so that'd be one thing to keep in mind. But what we do is free, third-party, unbiased adoption resources. So what that means is somebody could come to us and say, hey, we have a heart for adoption, but we have no idea where to begin. And we could actually walk people through that process step by step. We'd have them fill out a form online, and from that we could say, hey, you're eligible for international adoption in X, Y, and Z countries. Based on that, this country, if you have a specific heart for that, these are the agencies that we know and trust. And again, we don't get any sort of stipend from any of those agencies, so we can be completely unbiased. And we've helped over 6,000 people with the adoption process. And we do foster to adopt, domestic, international, and we even do special needs and embryo adoption.
So, listeners, maybe something's pricking their conscience. conscience or their heart, like, we've always thought about adoption, but sure. we don't even know where to start. Do they get in touch with you, and then do you meet with them or a caseworker? Or how's that all come together?
So, you know, if you're hearing me live on the radio, you feel free to email me at gabriel@loving-shepherd.org. That would be a great way to get in touch. That's Gabriel, G-A-B-R-I-E-L, at loving-shepherd.org. Now, I'm not actually one of the caseworkers per se, but if you went on our website, and that's www.loving-shepherd.org, you'll see in one of the corners that there's an assessment form that you can fill out. And whether you email me or fill out that assessment form, one of our adoption experts would get in touch with you, and they would sort of walk you through that process and get you started.
So tell us some stories, or help us to understand. So you've laid out what the mission is for this mm-hmm. ministry, but what's the impact? What has this ministry done? I mean, how has this ministry really reached and changed the people of Haiti, Ethiopia, and even here in the United States?
Sure. Well, I'll start with Haiti. Currently, and again, I'll emphasize, we actually don't do orphanages. So what we do is we actually have Haitian parents that can apply to be adoptive parents within country in Haiti. And then these vulnerable kids will actually move in into a permanent family style residency with these parents for life. And we are soon to have 20 of these homes, and there's 12 kids in each of these homes. So we've reached, you know, a couple of hundred of children through our programs in Haiti. And I'll give you an example. There's one child, and I won't use his name, but he's in one of our HIV positive homes. And I wish I could show you guys. Obviously, it's over the radio, so I can't show you a physical picture. But if you saw this kid when he came in, I mean, he was kind of that stereotypical, you know, distended stomach, you know, very much on the verge of starvation. And not only that, but he was, you know, getting none of his treatment that he needed for HIV. And through our programs, he's able to get a variety of things. He's able to get a loving family, so he's going to get emotional and spiritual support. He's getting parents. He's also going to be getting nutrition, what he needs. He's also going to get the most up-to-date HIV medication that you would get in the United States. And you see a picture of this kid today, and you don't even recognize him. I mean, he's completely different. Not only are his physical needs met, but you can see the kind of the joy in his eyes of, hey, I got a family, I got a future, I have prospects. And so to be able to go into a context like Haiti and take this kid that's so vulnerable and help him build up to the point where he can be a country changer despite having HIV in the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere is pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. So what about Ethiopia?
Yeah. So in Ethiopia, I could give you a similar story, obviously in a different context, but I show this short video that talks about our Ethiopia programs. In that video, there's a testimony of a woman. Again, I won't use her name, but she, like many of the women that we work with, basically said, hey, I got a point to my life where I had no family, I had no friends, I had no skills, I had nowhere to go, and so I was forced into prostitution out of necessity. And the women that I did have contact with, that was their only option that they could provide for me. And so I was in this trade where I'm, you know, servicing men daily, multiple times daily. I have children who, you know, there's nowhere for them to go. They're being exposed to this. And through our counselors that actually go out in a mobile clinic and minister to these women, she was able to hear for the first time about Loving Shepherd Ministries. And all of a sudden, and although she's hesitant at first, she sees, oh, there's some hope here. And our counselor said to her, hey, this isn't what life has to be. We have options for you if you're interested in that. And through that, and through those counselors that were on the street, she was able to go through an intensive 8-week counseling. Her kids are never separated from her, so they come with her. Again, the family remains intact. And then she was able to actually get trained into an alternative vocation and employed by Moria, which is our Ethiopian non-for-profit that we help with. And she now is able to have dignity and self-respect. She has a training, and so she has a job. And her kids are able to now get tuition so they can go to school, and they have a life and they have a future.
So how are those two pictures different? In Haiti, I'm understanding, you've got these homes, and now mm-hmm. you've got 12 homes with these 12 kids in them. In Ethiopia, do you run a similar program like the homes, or how are you reaching the people in Ethiopia?
So basically, LSM's goal is the most vulnerable children in the world, and so those vulnerable children are going to look different in different contexts. So in Haiti, the most vulnerable children are the child slaves, and so it makes most sense to get them into permanent homes and then get them educational opportunities. Well, in Ethiopia, we quickly found out the most vulnerable children there were not child slaves, they were the children of prostitutes. And so there, we don't have these homes. What we do is we have, and right now, which is something that is a very positive thing, is we actually work with two non-for-profits that are actually Ethiopian-run that we helped support and get to that point. And so our staff is all Ethiopians there, which is awesome. And so in that context, basically, we're able to go and minister to these children by getting the women out of prostitution and into alternative vocations. And the goal, obviously, is to help the women, but also to keep those children from ever getting into that situation in the first place.
Now, I know our Great News Radio listeners are prayer warriors, and mm-hmm. so certainly as you've shared these past 2 days, yeah. some of the stories and the ways they can be mindful of mm-hmm. the work that you're doing in the Lord Jesus' name, but tangibly, like through resources,
yeah.
or
yeah.
how can they get in touch? What can they do?
Yeah, there's a variety of ways. And again, obviously, we never want to underestimate prayer. So that's a huge one. You can be praying for our ministry, for our staff in the United States, in Fort Wayne. You can be praying for our staff in Haiti and in Ethiopia, and also for the children and the women that we're actually working with. You can also, by emailing me at gabriel@loving-shepherd.org, you can get in touch with me to sign up for our newsletter. You could also sign up for that online. And so that's a way. But in terms of actual resources, there's a variety of things. I could give you more information about actually sponsoring one of these homes that we have in Haiti. There's a way to do monthly sponsoring or even one-time gifts. And we can even give you other options of ways to give. For instance, this might be a bad example, but maybe you want to purchase a cow for our vocational ranch if you're a farmer or something of that nature. We can give you very specific projects that might minister to your heart. In Ethiopia, there's ways to give resources to actually get the women and children out of prostitution. And so, for instance, a small group could take on $650 is a figure that we often throw out, because that number actually represents what's needed to get a woman and her children out of prostitution through the counseling and into an alternative vocation. And we also have, like you said, I'd be more than willing, let's say you're connected to a church or a small group, I'd be more than willing to come and speak with you guys and give you ways to get involved. We have purse parties where you can actually sell the purses that the former prostitutes made, which is a great way to support our ministry in a way that's fun, and people can get more information about that. And then actually, for maybe an even more intrigued listener, we have advocacy programs where you can actually become an LSM advocate, or you could even travel to Haiti with me on a vision trip. And again, these aren't missions trips where you wouldn't be doing work per se, but you'd do a vision trip where you can come and see the work for yourself.
And is all this laid out at the website loving-shepherd.org?
Yeah, so you could go to loving-shepherd.org to get that information. Obviously, the headquarters is in Fort Wayne, so if you're a listener that's more local, it'd probably be best to email me at gabriel@loving-shepherd.org or call my cell phone at 217-714-5578.
That's 217-714-5578. In case you missed yesterday or a portion of today's broadcast, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org. Look for Gabe Walder, and the ministry is called Loving Shepherd Ministries, doing a needed work, a work that we can all certainly support and be praying up. And I love that you have work here in the U.S., and yet you have a global vision too, especially in Haiti and Ethiopia.
Yeah, and in our closing minutes, I would just ask this. I can only imagine, with the scope and scale, I mean, kids and prostitution in Ethiopia, sex slavery, kids with AIDS, and just pictures that would probably come across with distended stomachs and starvation, things that we are oblivious to in a certain sense, in really in our entitled place. How do you do it? How do you do it? Because I have to believe that some things come across here mm-hmm. that just make you want to weep and you know, to get up the next day and be able to actually put your hands back on it is probably sometimes difficult. So number one, how do you do it? Number two, how can we pray for you? How can we really lift you up and help to strengthen you by coming alongside you that way?
Sure. Well, I think all of our staff, and again, I'm one of the newest members of our staff, so especially more of our seasoned staff, they would tell you, especially the ones that are in Haiti and Ethiopia, the only way to do it is through support with one another, and most importantly, relying on Christ and on Jesus and prayer to get through these things, because we deal with really devastating things. You know, in Haiti, for instance, you're dealing with voodoo. We've encountered children that have been actually sacrificed for voodoo ceremonies. And when you encounter that, if you're simply relying on your own self and your own explanations, you're not going to get very far, and you're going to burn out really quickly. And so in terms of prayer, I think not only for myself personally, but for our staff overseas especially, just that they would feel God's presence, that they would really be actively fighting against the spiritual darkness that's there, and that they would be encouragement to one another, because I think community and fellowship within the body of believers is also really big.
Mm-hmm. Let's just take a moment, listeners, and let's just pray for Gabe and pray for his family and pray for the work that God's brought him to. Lord, we thank you for Gabe and his heart and the passion that you've given to him to see something that's bigger than himself and yet you see every day, something that you're calling men and women to support, to get behind, to bring encouragement to bring healing to. And so, Lord, we ask that just for strength and perseverance as Gabe puts his hands to the work that you've called him to. And, Lord, we pray specifically for Lindsay and for Martel. We pray for this adoption and, Lord, how you're working at knitting together a family. And, Lord, we ask that you would just continue to heal Martel from, you know, Lord, maybe even just past hurts. He's a little guy, Lord, but we know that sometimes, oftentimes, we see things that we need healing from that only Jesus can heal us from. And so, Lord, I just pray that in the ways that you're using Gabe and you're using Lindsay to heal Martel, to grow him, to prosper him, to do the things that you spoke to him about when he was in the womb that you were going to do with him. And, Lord, we just thank you for Gabe. Thank you for his heart. Thank you for this ministry. And Lord, we ask you to, we just ask you to help us in it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks.
Well, Gabe, thanks for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And this program, along with yesterday, is archived at greatnewsradio.org. As always, thank you, co-host Pastor Jason Schiffel, for being available. And for you, our listeners, obviously, we're throwing down the gauntlet. Be in prayer over Loving Shepherd Ministries. And stop by their website and pass on the link to a friend who may be considering needing more information about adoption resources here in the U.S. or maybe has a heart for Haiti or Ethiopia, and it's a great way to extend God's kingdom purposes in a tangible way to people that are there, that are local, that are involved, very hands-on. You can find out more at loving-shepherd.org, loving-shepherd.org. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
The Lord's my shepherd.